Hey, good morning, everyone. I want to thank you so much for joining us for our series, From Here to There. Most of our life should be spent in transition. Let me explain. We find ourselves often at the place of here. We might, in the place of here, consider our health and think, I'm overweight. Or we might say, hey, my finances are in a bad state. I have a deficit or debt. Maybe we have something in our relational element that needs to be fixed. Maybe we are estranged from somebody. Maybe in our career we're stuck. And maybe in our spirituality we find ourselves becoming a little bit complacent. We find ourselves in the place of here. Now, where we'd like to be is we'd like to be in the place of there, something much greater. We would like to be healthy. We'd like to have a savings account, good relationships. We would like to be advancing in our career. And spiritually, we'd love to be in a vibrant faith place. So we're here, we want to get there. The problem is that so often we want to simply jump from here to there. Like we can instantly go from being overweight to being in a healthy place. But the truth is that that's not the way that life works. We need to live in transition, in the place from here to there. Let me explain. When it comes to your health, say you're overweight. You may say, here I am, I'm overweight, I want to get to the place where I'm healthy. You're going to need to do some things in the middle of transition from here to there that will help you get healthy. You may want to restrict the junk food that you buy. You may want to drink more water. You may want to start going to the gym. You're going to do those things in the place of transition, the place from here to there. We can never simply get from one place to the next by jumping there. It's the transitional actions that are so vital. In fact, those transitional actions are catalytic to the change taking place in our life. This is so true spiritually. You see, we can be in a place of here, a place where we understand our spirituality and desire to get to the other place. But it's important that we pay attention to those first steps, those steps in the transition stages from here to there. And I want to show you what this looks like. We're going to continue on with our study of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25 is our text today. And it says this: during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. This is a transitional stage for the Israelites. There's a brand new king, and a brand new king, brand new leadership often brings hope. The Israelites have spent so many years living in turmoil and difficulty. We just talked about that last week in chapter 1 of Exodus, where Pharaoh's putting all this pressure and makes them slaves and is trying to kill their children. They're living in much turmoil and they've just adapted. Now there's a change of leadership. And the Bible talks to us about how the Israelites have a desire to get to a new place. They aren't satisfied with where they're at. They are looking to go to the better place, the place that God has always had for them. And there are some actions that we need to pay attention to that the Israelites embrace that will help us understand what we do in the middle of transition, in the place from here to there. The very first thing I think we see in this story is that we need to become discontent. The Bible tells us in verse 23 that the Israelites groaned in their slavery. For years, the Israelites had been under incredible turmoil. We just talked about that. For years, they had built some magazine cities. They had been slaves. They had shifted in their social status. Their spirits were crushed, constantly being pushed down. There was an attempt to kill every newborn child. And then every boy that was under the age of 2 was tossed into the Nile River. It was a difficult time. But the Israelites had simply adapted to what came their way. But now, in this time of transition, this time between with a new king, there's something different taking place with the Israelites. The Bible says that they groaned or they sighed. This word groaned or sighed means a long, deep, audible expression that reflects that one is tired with their condition. I'll never forget when I was on my internship. We would have staff meeting every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. And each of the staff members at a certain point in the meeting would share elements of their portfolio. There was one of our staff members who was always pushing the envelope. I'll never forget as he began to share, I knew that our senior pastor wouldn't be happy with what he was sharing. And so my eyes kind of shifted over to see what our senior pastor was doing. I watched his body language. I watched the look on his face. I could tell that he was displeased with what he was hearing from this pastor. And then I heard it. There was this deep sigh. And in that moment, it wasn't just me who recognized that our senior pastor was dissatisfied with what this pastor was doing, what he was sharing, but so did that pastor. In fact, this pastor turned to the senior pastor and said, "Pastor, obviously there's a problem." Now, how did he know? Because he heard the sigh. "Pastor, obviously there's a problem. Why don't you tell me what your problem is?" And I watched as my senior pastor very patiently said, "Do you want me to tell you?" And then he started to get a little bit more frustrated. He said, "Do you really want me to tell you?" And then he told him exactly what he was frustrated with, the element in this pastor's life that needed to change. I sat back like I was watching some comedy act. It was just absolutely incredible. But it was the sigh. It was that moment of an audible expression that there needed to be change, that we knew that something was wrong. The Israelites groan or sigh. And this is a tangible expression that they're discontent with where they're at. They've adapted under all kinds of situations for the last number of years. But now with this new king, they are tired of adapting. And there's something inside of them that says, we want to change. We want to leave the place of here and we want to go to there. We want to begin the journey of transition. It started off with a deep sigh, the discontent. If we want to arrive at where God wants us to be in our spiritual lives, friends, there has to be that sigh in our life. There has to be something that says, I'm not content with where I'm at. Last week, Pastor Steve and I were traveling somewhere. It was a few weeks ago. We were traveling somewhere. And we got into a discussion, and he began to talk to me about a conversation he and Jess were having one night about things that we don't see in churches anymore. They were talking about how they grieved how that their kids wouldn't get to experience some of the Sunday night services, for those of you who remember, and waiting at the altar, and some of the moves of the Spirit that were so prominent in his growing up and in Jess's growing up. I remember as he's telling me his perspective and sharing these thoughts with me, I said, you know what? It's one of my great frustrations leading our church right now. I love our people, but I feel that people are so busy and we don't take the time to wait upon the Holy Spirit anymore. And I went on to say, you know, one of the things I so miss is all those retreats I used to do as the youth director. I remember how every weekend I would be in a different location, and the students would be worshiping God and they would be going after God, and there'd be moments where I'd be hearing from the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation. People would be filled with the Holy Spirit and people would be healed and there would be such incredible things that take place. And we'd have these long altar moments where lives were completely transformed. And as I'm sharing what I miss in my daily spiritual life with my community of friends, our community of CPC, there was this sigh in the car. It was a feeling of discontent. We said, hey, we love our church and we love where we're going and what we're doing, but we want more. We don't want to stay at a place where we don't see greater supernatural things taking place. There was a sigh. And I remember how the conversation ended. I said, Steve, we need to make sure that in 2021 we do everything we can to make sure that the Holy Spirit's able to do what he wants to do in our services. Well, that conversation didn't end there. Over the next couple weeks, I began to think about what we had talked about, and I began to miss the moving of the Spirit. The more I thought about it, the more I missed, and I want to get to a different place. I want to get to the place of there. I want to get to a place where the Spirit was working in an incredible way. And I began to pray, and I said, God, I am discontent. There's so many things that I love about our church and so many things I love about how I lead, but God, what I miss is I miss the true moving of your Spirit in new ways, in the supernatural, and people getting healed and the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, Holy Spirit, I want to lead listening to your voice much better than I've ever listened And so there was a discontent, a sigh in my life. Friends, I want you to know that there's got to be a sigh in our life if we're ever to get to the place that God wants us to be spiritually. Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. This is an expression that of sighing that I'm here and I'm not satisfied. I feel dry. I want more. There's things that are missing in my spiritual life. And then the psalmist goes on to say, for the living God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There's this cry to go from here to there, to move into the transition stage and start at that place that says, I'm discontent. Friends, let me ask you a question. Are you content with where you're at spiritually? Are you content with where you're at with God? Or is there some form of discontent, some kind of groan or sigh that reveals something deep in your soul? The beginning steps of transition require discontent. The second thing I think we see in this passage is a cry for help. Verse 23 goes on to say, very simply, and they cried for help. It seems so simple. Need help? Just ask. But that's not how we operate most often. In fact, in the verses preceding verses 23 to 25, we find the story of Moses stepping out in probably his young adult years. And he steps out to look around in the magazine cities to see how his people are doing. He's very aware that he's a Hebrew, that he's part of the Israelite nation. And he begins to look around and he sees an Egyptian slave who is beating a Hebrew. He looks to the left. He looks to the right, and he steps in, and he strikes this Egyptian to stop him from beating this Hebrew, and ends up killing the man and burying him in the sand. He takes matters into his own hands. Well, the next day, he's out looking around again, and he sees two Hebrews who are fighting. And he steps in and says, hey, you guys shouldn't be fighting. And one of them says, why? What are you going to do? Are you going to kill us too like you killed the man yesterday? His heart sinks. He gets stressed. Because now he realizes that people are aware of what he's just done. In fact, the word gets to Pharaoh that Moses has killed somebody. And Pharaoh determines he's going to kill Moses. Moses now has to leave Egypt, flee to Midian, to a place where he's unable to bring change to the place that he wants to see change. All because he took matters into his own hands. And friends, I think it's a picture of where we often live versus where we should be. You see, we're like Moses. We often want to take things into our own hands with our spirituality. If we just do the right things, if we just put the right practices in place, everything will be fine. But the truth is that in verse 23, we see where we need to step after we know that we've become discontent. We need to step into a place where we simply cry out to God, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I can't get to the spiritually transformed place by myself. I need you. We need to rely upon God to bring the transformation in our spiritual lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, and we all who are with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, to arrive at a new place spiritually, to get to the here in our lives, the place of vibrancy in our spirituality, the place where we're hearing from God, the place where the supernatural is working through our lives, the place where we're effective in our witnessing, the place where we're meditating on the Word of God, the place where we're living morally and pleasing to God, to get there requires the work of the Spirit within our lives. Our cry for help is a relinquishing of our human effort so that the Spirit can do His thing in our lives. I love this quote by Karl Barth. He says, when we are at our wit's end for an answer, the Holy Spirit can give us an answer. But how can He give us an answer when we are still well supplied with all sorts of answers on our own? How can the Spirit step in to bring the transformation when we're trying to transform ourselves? How can the Spirit give us what we need when we're trying to take care of it in our own sufficiency? You see, the moment that the Israelites cried out to God, it was a declaration that they are unable to get to the there. They're unable to move to there by themselves. They need God to step in. Friends, we must recognize what we can do. And we must recognize what only God can do. I've told the story many times about how God began to call me into ministry. It all started off with a musical group from the Bible College who had come to our church. And I've shared this before, that at the end of the day, I was so enamored by the vibrancy I'd seen in their life. The vibrancy of faith seemed to surpass anything I saw in the people of my church. And that night I went home and I remember saying to God, God, I want what they have. You see, it was a discontent. It was a feeling of discontent with where I was at. I recognized that I didn't have that vibrancy, and I wanted to move from here to there. And I said, God, I want what they have. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that he wanted me to go into ministry. It was the beginning of a six-month wrestling match with God about the call of God on my life. I kind of put that aside and reflected on what the Spirit was saying to me, but I went back to my statement and I said, God, I want what they have. I want what they have. I desired to get to the there. Here was the problem, is that I was 15 years old. And I didn't have anybody to really mentor me on how to get to the there. I mean, there were people around, I'm sure, that could have helped me. But I didn't really understand what I was supposed to do. I didn't know the practices. I didn't know who I should talk to. I didn't know the books I was supposed to read. I just didn't know what to do. All I knew is there was this discontent in my heart. And so all I did is I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. Can you help? Can you help me? And I kept praying that every day. And what I began to notice is the Spirit of God continued to stir things in my heart. He continued to lead me in practices that I would never have chosen myself. He began to direct me in ways that were his ways. And he did something in my life that changed the course of who Jeff Hillier is. It started with discontentment. But then I cried out for help. Friends, I want to tell you something. Part of the transition stage from here to there in your life is not just being discontent with where you're at, but is saying, Holy Spirit, I can't get to there. My guess is you've tried many times. My guess is you've tried all kinds of things. I'm going to do a 365-day reading plan with the Bible. I'm going to give 1 hour a day to prayer. I'm going to give more money than I've ever given. You go for like 3 days, and then you find yourself back here because you're trying to do it in your own strength. What you need is you need the Holy Spirit. You need to cry out for the Spirit, the one who actually brings the life that we need. We have to acknowledge that we need the Holy Spirit, so cry out for help. The last thing is really simple. We need to practice repetition. In verse 23, we see that their cry went up to God. And then in verse 24, it says that God heard their groaning. This was more than God acknowledging a sound from the Israelites. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 7, it's a little bit later on in the Israelites' journey. It's when they're out of the here. It's when they're somewhere over here and they're on their way to the there. We actually look back, and this is what Moses writes. He says, "Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression." And you may be thinking, so what? That's what we just read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. But in this verse, we see something unique in the grammar. This word cried is a sequential word, something that is repeated. And what it reveals is that the Israelites didn't just one day go, man, this stinks. This is so terrible. We want out of here. And they didn't just have one prayer meeting. They kept going to God. They kept repeating those prayers. God help! Next day, God help! Next day, God help! They kept crying out to them. They repeated the behavior. You see, I know it's so simple, but we have got to keep doing what we can until we get there. In this place of transition, we've got to keep doing the same things over and over again until we get there. The path to there is never about a one-time event. You see, when Angela and I were dating, I knew that I wanted to marry her. I knew that I wanted her to be in my life for the rest of my future, till I breathed my last. And I need to figure out how that end goal is going to be there, that she would be by my side when I breathe my last, or she would breathe her last, whatever, whoever went first. I want to make sure that I made that goal fulfillable. And so one day, I took an engagement ring and I knelt in Durham College and proposed to her and asked her to be my wife. That was an important moment, but it wasn't the big moment. The big moment came December 18th, 1993. We stood in Trinity Pentecostal Church in Oshawa, in front of our congregation of family and friends. And there I made a vow before her that I would commit myself to her for all the days of my life. And she made a vow before me that she would commit herself to me all the days of her life. It was the big moment. Now, you would think that that one act, that marriage day act, was so big that it should guarantee that we would be together for the rest of our life, that we did the one big thing. And in fact, it's such an important thing, such an important big moment, that every year on December 18th, we celebrate our anniversary, just like we did a few weeks ago. But friends, that one big moment wasn't enough to get us to the goal line. You see, in order for us to get to the place where we would be committed to each other for the rest of our lives, we needed the big moment, but then we needed a bunch of repeated actions. You see, I needed to repeatedly ask for forgiveness, and I needed to repeatedly forgive her. I needed to repeatedly communicate with her. I needed to repeatedly listen to her. I needed to repeatedly understand her needs. I needed to repeatedly speak love. I've needed to repeatedly spend time with her. And I've needed to repeatedly sacrifice. I needed to do these things over and over and over again. And she's needed to do those things over and over and over again. And those things may seem like the mundane between here and there, but those simple things of doing over again, I'm sorry. What do you need? Let's spend time together over and over again. Is what has brought the depth to our marriage and will get us to the there where we will be together until our last days. You see, when we look at our spiritual growth, we can't trust in just one-off situations. You see, sometimes Christians are so committed to the Sunday gatherings. Some of you may have even been struggling in your spiritual life over this season because you've been missing the Sunday gatherings. You've relied on the one big moment. But it's not the thing that will get you to where you want to be spiritually. It's those daily, repetitious acts. It's doing certain things, holy habits, over and over and over again. It was the Israelites crying out to God, not once, but repeatedly, that caught his attention. You see, I'm convinced that it's the repeated actions that get us from here to there. Philip Hale wrote about a village in Le Chambon in France. It was unlike any other place in France. This village had taken in Jews during World War II, had protected them from the Nazis. And their stories that came out of this little village showed great heroics and courage. Well, Philip was so curious as to what took place and what these people were like that he traveled to this little community. And he began to talk to the people. He wanted to find out what it was that made them so heroic, what made them so courageous. And after a number of interviews, he started to think, man, these people are pretty ordinary. I don't really get it. Like, there's nothing special. In fact, some of them are less than ordinary. So what made them so courageous when every other city wasn't doing what they did during World War II? Well, he finally struck gold when he found a commonality with each person he talked to. And they talked about their repeated attendance of Sunday church. They talked about how they would go to church every Sunday throughout this season. Pastor Trockme had preached week after week what they were supposed to do. There was one lady who had faked a heart attack when the Nazis had come to her door to check to see if she was hiding Jews. She faked this heart attack and left. And she said these words, "Pastor always taught us that there comes a time in every life when a person is asked to do something for Jesus. When our time came, we knew what to do." You see, it was the repeated attending of Sunday church. It was the repeated instructions that they were being formulated. It was the repeated actions that seem so unimportant in our society today of going to church, that where they grabbed hold of the pastor's teaching and they were prepared for the place that they wanted to always be, a place of courage, a place of heroics, a place of kindness and care and generosity. They arrived there because of repeated actions, their Sunday attendance. The village arrived at their there by repeated actions. Let me ask you something today. What repeated actions need to be in your life? What are the habits that you need to do to show God that you want to grow in your spiritual life? The Israelites cried out day after day. What about your times alone with God? What about diving into the Word? What about prayer moments? What about church? Have you taken it seriously? Or in this season, has maybe even our online viewing become something that we're just tired of and we just push to the side? What habits do you need in your life to get from here to there? Most of us know the story of Alice in Wonderland. And there's this point in the story where Alice comes to a crossroads. She doesn't know which way to go, and so she turns to the Cheshire Cat and she asks the cat which way she should go. The cat turns to her and says, "That depends a great deal on where you want to go." Her response is interesting. She says, "I don't much care where." At that, the cat responds, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." Friends, if you have no goal in your spiritual life, if you haven't taken time this year to reflect on where you're at and where you'd like to be, you probably aren't needing to pay much attention to what you do this year. I mean, if you don't really have a goal of what you want in your faith, if you don't really have a goal of what you want in your Bible reading times or in your prayer times or how you want God to use you or how you want to serve or the impact you want to make in the world, if you don't have a goal of the there, then it doesn't really matter what you do this year. You might as well do whatever you want. But if you have a goal, if you want to get to a better place, then friends, my suggestion to you was that you would pay attention to what the Israelites did when they began those first steps of transition between here and there. They first of all became discontent. They reflected on where they were at and they said, "We don't want to be here anymore." That you would sigh, "I don't want to be here anymore." Maybe that's what you're feeling today. Maybe you're at a place spiritually where you're sighing and you're saying, "God, I don't want to be here." It's not a bad place. It's the beginning of transition from here to there. But once you face that sigh, that moment of discontent, you then need to cry out to the Holy Spirit. "Holy Spirit, I need you. Like I've done these last few weeks, I need to hear your voice more. I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit more. I want to see the supernatural more in my life. I want to be more kind. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be in my life. Holy Spirit, I want to pay more attention to my disciplines." We cry out for help. "Holy Spirit, change me." And then lastly, friends, we do what we can. We practice repetition. We keep doing things over and over again. We make sure that in this journey from here to there, that in the transition, that we keep paying attention to our Sunday attendance, that we keep paying attention to what we're contributing to the kingdom, that we keep paying attention to our quiet times of prayer and reading the Bible, that we keep paying attention to our evangelism, that we don't neglect the things that are important and do them just one off and expect that if we can just do some one big moment things, that we'll get to the there. No, that's believing that you can jump from here to there. No, keep doing over and over again until you get to the place that God wants you to be. Jesus, thank you so much for my friends who've watched today. Lord, I pray that we would reflect on where we're at. And there would be this deep sigh in our life that says, "Hey, I want to get to a new place. I'm discontent." I pray that we would not just launch out and do things in our own abilities, but Holy Spirit, we'd cry out to you to do something fresh. Would you do something fresh in our church? Would you do something fresh in me? Would you do something fresh in our kids and our youth and in our leaders and in our board and our staff? Would you do something fresh that we can't do ourselves? And Lord, we commit to repeated actions, to keep coming to you in our prayer times and in our Bible reading times, to keep serving and keep learning and to keep evangelizing. We're committed to repeated actions, the part that we can do until we get to the there. Let us have a vision of what you see for our lives and help us to move towards that today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.